You're listening to the premier automotive and lifestyle podcast with Mark Anthony Murray and Sean Rosa.
This is Through the Apex. It's finally here, episode 10, and I have never, ever in my life been so ill-prepared for a show like this one. What a way to celebrate.
An excellent way to celebrate episode 10 slash 11 slash 10.
Oh, that's right, because our stupid coding system.
It's funny, like, I bring it up every time, but I like it, and then you're like, it's stupid, and I'm like, no, it's good, but in my head, I'm like, it was kind of stupid.
It's stupid and good at the same time. Like, it was, I don't know what to say about it, but this is episode 10, officially.
It is 10. It's only taken 10 weeks to get here.
10 weeks, technically 11. So congratulations to us.
Congratulations to us. Happy birthday to the 11th episode.
We're going to treat... Should we do this all over again? No, we're going to keep it. Just keep rolling. We're going to treat this as if we're going to act like this is our 10th year when really it's only been a little over two months, really.
We need to have like a commemorative gold-plated podcast mic or something like that. Just change them. Just put them in like the machine that gold plates everything and just put like the little the rosemary or like the they put on the first place like trophies, and that'll be it. Just,
like the laurels from like the film fest and stuff.
Right. Exactly.
Is it too early to do a best of podcast? Because I'm so ill-prepared for this episode. I was like, yo, we'll just cut all the good from the last 10 episodes, because this is technically 11,
and then,
but 10,
and then put some together,
and then we'll just throw something out, because like what are we gonna do,
like the Grand Tour Awards, the award for the worst and most frequently discussed topic is EV cars. Oh god, and they're back.
We have talked about EV a lot, haven't
back
we,
in this episode.
We are back. I don't think they're gonna go anywhere. I think when we do our 100th episode, it'll probably be nothing but EV talk.
Yeah.
You know.
And neither of us will probably still own one.
Unless Honda makes that EV concept.
Oh, yeah,
we'll own that. That's the only thing.
Right.
We'll or the Volkswagen bus. That thing is pretty
cool. Oh, no, we'll own that too. Okay.
That's pretty cool.
All right, that's fine. Never mind.
So I take it. As long as they keep them reasonable, they can't be like stupid Prius prices. So I'm hoping that, like, one thing I'm hoping with this whole EV crap is that finally the market will, you know, level out a little
bit.
Once
it's saturated enough and it becomes more of a regularity and they can figure out the issue of these declining efficiency batteries and stuff like that, they'll be able to sell more. Because I think a lot of people are still skeptical. You might as well make cars run off of, you know, saturated fat or something like that. We have
they were trying, Toyota was trying like a water-based car or something, right?
Yeah, hydro propulsion or something like that. Yeah.
They were like trying to get ahead. And it's like,
till it drops like to 20 degrees and your car doesn't work anymore. Hit the start button. You just blow up and die.
You're going to definitely change the whole logic of like winterizing your vehicle, right? Like it's like when you know, when you go out for a vacation, they're like, you need to like leave a faucet kind of like dripping or something. So it doesn't like freeze up. Like, what do you do with your car? I don't even know what to do then.
Leave it in gear. I don't know. I don't know how to help a water power car.
Oh my gosh.
Leave the heat on.
Let's get through the electric based stuff first before we start moving towards other elements. And then, you know, what ends up happening is you end up recreating the wheel so much that you end up just at combustion engines again.
Right. I was going to say, we've invented something that runs off gas.
Yeah.
In like the year 4000. Remember gas? We found some more.
We're back. Hopefully our grandchildren, great, 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 great grandchildren and so on will be doing a show then to kind of talk about that movement. But yes, this is episode 10 of Through the Apex. Really happy to have made it to episode 10 because I think the last show I did online didn't make it past episode 8.
Oh, that's still a lot.
No, it was an awful show. It was
No, never mind.
It was
it's
awful
too much
show.
Then.
It should have been canceled far before.
Oh,
8.
Man. Diligence is important.
Yes, yes, yes. So how are you doing this week? What's going on?
I'm doing all right. I'm looking forward to some okay weather this weekend. It's been pretty rainy the past couple of days, but it was really nice today, and it was good that it was nice today because I actually went to my first formal Cars and Coffee, Katie's Cars and Coffee in Great Falls with Maggie and George.
Nice.
George Ganim, who's actually just got back from the New York International Auto Show.
Ooh.
As of yesterday with Imran and some guys, showed me some of the pics he took. Awesome, awesome show.
And we will have George on the show next week to actually discuss his experience at the auto show, because we weren't able to go, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So our first three-man booth, which would be exciting.
I know. I was on FaceTime and looking at stuff, and I was like, look, I can't, you guys can make a car run off of electricity, but you can't figure out how to transport a human being through the phone to be someplace else.
A hologram.
Like you guys can figure that. At least
Star
a
Trek stuff.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But it was real dope. The drive was really nice. We got on 495. There were only like three people on it. You know,
wonderful.
We
were on the, like, that's a rarity.
It's a rarity. It's the only time it's ever going to happen. But a great array of cars. Saw some buddies from the meet we had a couple weeks back.
Nice.
As well. And just such a variety. It's like, that's the only time you're ever going to see exotics or anything of that caliber in public around these areas, because they're so rare, few and far between, that I feel like a lot of those guys only take them to those meets because they can be appreciated by the folks that are there, and they can just kind of, you know, be themselves over there. But it was awesome. We stayed for about an hour, rolled back out, and the drive home was also peaceful. It's funny when you wake up so early and then when you finish doing what you're doing and then you look at the clock and it's just like, it's only 9:15. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you
like
got so much day left. It's great.
So much days left, but it was awesome.
That's
was
awesome. What was your favorite car that you saw there? You see anything you like?
So I liked the GT3 a lot before I went there. I saw like 12 of them in the first 5 minutes.
After a while, you're like, I've had enough.
Right, exactly. But one
too
of
much
my,
birthday. That's what they call it. Too much birthday. Celebrate your birthday for like 4 days, and you're like, all right, I'm done. Stop.
How
stop
old are you now?
Happy birthday.
You should be
Jesus.
2000 by now. Damn birthday week. Get the hell out of
I'm
here.
I'm guilty of that. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, sorry. Go birthday week. But I saw an Aston Martin Vanquish there.
Ooh.
I did really like it a lot.
Nice.
That was definitely one noteworthy one. There were about three R8s there. That Maggie's a big fan of. One of them was done up particularly nicely.
Yeah.
Nardo one. And I did actually see a Cadillac CTS-V wagon.
Oh, cool.
With the larger composite brakes, had aftermarket wheels. It was lowered. I didn't get up close to it because there was just so much to look at, but those are just a couple of them, that really stood out. But
very cool.
Man, they had, it was such a nice bounce. Lots and lots of old school Porsches, man.
Nice.
Probably about at least 10 or 11 Targas from the 60s, 70s.
Oh, wow. That's really throwing it back.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole lot of them. I saw a Porsche 550 Spider, a 356. These are old, old Porsches, old racing Porsches. Lots of manufacturer representation from them, definitely. Lots of American cars, too. I also saw a Shelby GT350, which I love a lot. I saw two of those flat plane V8. Even George was like, this is just, I was making a joke with Maggie on the way home. It's like, you know, some people, it's like with American cars, you either hate them or you hate them.
Yeah.
It's like your degree of hate, but you know, it's a car like that. You just have to develop a respect for it because they've literally broken their own mold and their handicap for all of these years.
I don't hate American cars. I know that's surprising because I probably shit on American cars every week on the show, but it's not that I hate them.
Plastic.
It's when I look at them, like, I mean, I don't know.
You just hate Cadillac.
No. Well, actually, somewhat. Yes. I hate anything under the GM brand, I think, unless it's a Camaro or the newer Camaros or older and Corvettes. But like, I hate the fact that Malibus look like they're made out of like plastic. It looks like it's made out of the stuff that, you know, is what my TV remote's made out of. That's what it looks like, you know?
Right.
Like I saw, what was it? It might have been like the Cruze from a couple years ago. Like not one of the newer updated ones. Because the newer Malibus and Impalas do have a much better fit and finish to them. But it just looked awful. And I just, I thought to myself, like, and no offense to anybody out there that's listening, but why would you buy one of those things, you know? And I mean, I don't know what people's situations are.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. I mean, if you like it, you like it. That's great. But like,
they don't
all
like,
the things,
they don't like that.
They don't like
that. No, they don't.
It's awful.
They just bought it, man. Like when I see somebody in a Corolla, I'm like, yo, you didn't buy that because you're a Corolla fan.
Right.
You just bought that. It's like, go into a dealership and literally get me the cheapest car in here. Whatever it is, just give me that.
But I think the people that buy Corollas and Camrys are, give me something that's cheap and reliable. And that's what you get. And I'll give it to them in that regard. Like I drove a Corolla late last year. Mm-hmm. And my biggest issue with
blew your socks off.
Well, it wasn't a terrible
power.
It had none of that.
No, I know.
It wasn't a terrible car. The issue with it was that it was a boring car to drive.
Yeah,
it had all the things that you would want, a convenience package. It looked pretty good, you know, but it was boring.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of play at the steering wheel. I don't like that. You know, I don't need that.
It's a Corolla.
I know, but like, shouldn't have that much play. That was a lot. It had more play than like a hooker. You know what I mean? Like, it was so bad.
Boom. No wonder people can't drive that on the road.
I have
man.
A foul mouth this episode. I have a lot of editing to do. You know, and I'm gonna complain about it when I'm in post working.
Right, right. I'm gonna send you a text, bro. You missed another one.
Yeah, yeah. Please be my eyes and ears after this one. No, that's cool, man. Cars and Coffee sounds like a blast. Definitely got to make it out there.
Yeah, man.
Soonish for sure.
Definitely. Weather's warming up. There'll be a lot of even more people are going to start showing up.
Good.
You know, it's still pretty chilly, about 40 degrees in the morning, and my shutter finger was starting to freeze after a while. But it was a great turnout. So
that's cool. We'll have some pictures up for you guys on Instagram and Twitter coming up soon within the week.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So stay tuned for that. Speaking of things that I hate, because that's all I ever talk about.
Yeah.
You know, I was on my way to work earlier this week, and I saw a Fiat 500 Abarth.
Hey.
And I love the thing. I like the regular 500. I think it's an adorable little car.
What a snarling, rip snorting, little spunky Italian
right?
egg.
Yeah, it really is. You but know? The Abarth is just like, man, it's a good looking
car. That's a soulful little good looking car, yeah.
And then on my commute after I saw that, and I, you know, when I see something like that you don't often see, I often think one thing, like, who's driving the car?
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you buy that car? Why did you choose that car? Because I think that, like, okay, when you think of an Abarth owner, you could have had a lot of things. You could have had the
Mini Cooper,
right? Mm-hmm. John Cooper Works
or maybe S, because it's a lot cheaper than John Cooper Works.
You could have had either of those. You could have had, you know. I know I'm a shill, but you could have the GTI. You could have all these other hot hatches, right? I mean, it's just the truth. There's a lot of hot hatches out there to have.
Mm-hmm.
But for you to choose an Abarth,
very different.
What made you do that? You know, and I think that's so interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Petrolicious should do an episode on just
Abarth owners,
but current Abarth owners. You know what
I mean? Because
it's an interesting thing. But that also made me think of something else.
Oh.
Because on my commute, after I tried to maneuver my way to look at the Abarth, I saw a Fiat 500L, which is just a oversized, bulged up.
It's just got. It's a 500, and it went on the Kardashians and went to a Botox session. That's basically what happened.
Dude.
And it came out, and it's just like, look at me, guys. I'm better now. I'm bigger. I got a butt and.
And then again, the same thought, what the hell made you want to buy this thing? Because my thing is, if you want a small car,
mm-hmm.
buy a freaking small car. Why'd you say, you know what? I want a small car, but I want it a little bit bigger. So
it's almost like, and it's not pulled off as well as something like a Clubman or a Countryman because the aesthetic is not really there. So it just kind of looks like a. It genuinely looks like a swollen.
Yes. Yeah,
it looks swollen.
And like a pufferfish.
Right. And it's not a good adjective to use for a historically very teeny vehicle.
I agree.
You know what I mean? You make a bigger version of a smaller version of a car, like the Clubman or even the four-door hardtop version minis, which I think they look great. I mean, I think the problem with that L is the height.
Because it
looks like a van,
but it's the roundness of it, the curvature is the height for sure, and then like the wheels don't look like they look like small little legs, like someone just skipped leg day. You would know that because you see a lot of people that skip leg days. I know you don't.
Right,
Machine Gain doesn't.
Right,
but like
in Italy they skip it.
Oh, geez.
They skip it for the consumer cars over there.
Goodness.
What is it running 12s on there? 12 inch.
Dude, probably.
Shit, the tires are probably 12s.
5-spoke 12s.
Oh, God.
But yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know. It's an awful thing. I just don't understand why, if you're going to choose a small car, why would you say, I want something small but a little bit bigger?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know.
It's only for the American market.
That is true.
That's the only, I mean, cause honestly, over in Europe, what do you have? You have wagons. You can have whatever you want over there.
Oh, yeah.
But here, it's almost like stuff like the Stelvio, which is good, you know, but that's an SUV, but Alfa Romeo's never done that. Lamborghini's never done that. Italian companies have never had the need to create something like that for somebody until people started needing psychologically that, you know what I mean? Obviously the practicality is important, which is why we see men driving minivans and stuff like that. But stuff like that has never existed previously and it does now. And this is the demographic that is going to require it, because I'll be honest with you, I see more L's than I see. I mean, I do see a lot of standard 500s. It's like $12,000. You can just go out and buy one and look cool and different. But Abarth and the L's, which are a little more costly.
Yeah.
You know, between that and the Abarth, it's only the practicality that's selling the vehicle.
Well, my thing is like, so we're saying that you're getting the L because it's bigger and it's for a market which has bigger humans. America. And look, I'm not a small dude, but
this is your next car, bro.
I wouldn't mind having an Abarth.
Oh, the Abarth.
Yeah, but okay. I wouldn't have an L.
Oh, I was making a joke about the L's.
No, hell no. I would never. Because, like, here's the thing. Like, my thing is, okay, if I want a Fiat 500 and I can't quite fit into it comfortably, then I'm not having a 500 because I'm not having an L.
Right.
I'm going to go look.
You're just
at
not
going
to get a Fiat.
I'm just not going to get a Fiat.
Right.
Bottom line. That's you see my train of thought.
Right. There's too many other options available.
Way too many other options
to compromise. Yeah.
I did build a 124 Spider Abarth.
Those
online.
Are really cool, man.
Yeah.
They're really rare too. And built on the Miata platform.
It is the Fiata. Ching ching. I'm so smart. See what I did there, guys? I think the 124 is definitely a car that I can definitely see.
That's
in my
an
future.
Awesome car. Yeah.
Just as I mean, a fun whip around car.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Same character. There is the Abarth. There's the 500, slightly uprated motor.
Yeah, version. But still has it has an Italian flavor. You know, you compare it to the Miata. You could have the Miata, and I would have the Miata. But
I'd have the Miata. I'd have it over the Abarth just because that it's expensive, bro.
The Abarth?
The Roadster.
It comes up as I think all specced out with all the things that I wanted on it.
Like 35
or 36.
Yeah.
But I think I would have it just because of, again, just the Italian flavor.
Yeah, it's very nice.
I agree.
I really like it.
Sorry, something came up on my phone. I was like, what?
Distractions.
Distractions.
We need a podcast recording mode on here. I look at my phone and see messages. Oh, no, nobody cares about me. It's just the time looking back at me on my phone. No notifications.
Well, the person that does care about you
she's
knocked
here.
Out right now.
Oh, she is, really?
Yeah, just look over.
Oh, yeah. Let's not be talking loud enough. No, I'm just...
Turn it up.
Right, exactly.
So yeah, we got some interesting things to get off our chest today, because there's a lot of interesting news.
Yeah,
solely based around sales, the lack of sales, and recalls.
Stuff going wrong.
Right. So the first piece of news that I have is Ferrari, of all brands, has a recall for the 488 GTB.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what it's for.
What's it for?
It's probably one of the most important parts on any car, but especially on a car that can do the speed that it does.
The wheels.
Close. The brakes.
The brakes.
Yes. While you might not want to stop driving a Ferrari, you might want to stop from time
to
time.
You might have to stop. Maybe.
Oh, my goodness.
660 horsepower. What part do you need to work? The brakes. Oh, we got you, fam.
So this thing is interesting. So Ferrari issued a statement that there's a software error that has caused an algorithm which calculates the brake wear to malfunction. So basically what's happening is your brakes are wearing and your sensor is not going off to let you know, hey, you need new brakes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people driving around possibly with worn brakes. Now, it's not the biggest recall, because you imagine Ferrari's only delivering about, you know, a little over 2,000 of these in the States. So, you know, it's not like when Toyota has a recall and it's like everyone on the road.
Suddenly there's no traffic on the road anymore.
Right. It's like a holiday. with Ferrari, what their recall is only 40, which doesn't seem big, but the ratio still.
And the possibility, I guess, of it maybe And even if you're on one of the unaffected, you're still going to probably have a bit of uncertainty about it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, I have a car. This could have been one of mine. I could have been one of the 40 or what right. have you. You know what I mean? It's funny because it's tied to a software component. So it's like the days of mechanical engineering that have been, you know, fully hydraulic steering, things like that, that really, like even the Alfa Romeo. And it's funny that I bring this up now because it just came to me as I was talking. You know, the Quadrifoglio, the Giulia is a fly-by, I think it's fly-by-wire braking. It's actually electronically modulated. So the pedal feel and the brake feel does not increase the harder you press the pedal, the brake pedal on the Alfa. So everything's literally controlled electronically. So it's especially with carbon ceramics. It's like you have nothing, everything or like everything. And then it's like, why won't it stop? Oh, there it is. Oh, no, it's still not stopping. You know what I mean?
It's not to get used to.
I'm wondering if that might be part of the, like that type of calibration can be very tricky, especially in a high performance variant of an offering from that brand. So I don't know if obviously I'm not a braking engineer, let alone for a company as reliable as an Italian one.
Right.
But that is very interesting though, and the other notes are pretty funny about worst case scenario is higher probability of accident.
Yeah, when I read that, I totally read that in a bad Italian accent, and I was like, that's the statement they release.
Like,
unbelievable.
Everybody that buys their cars are basically Vittels and Schumachers and stuff. Higher probability of accident with no brakes. Oh, we've done this before. Our brakes fail all the time.
Hey guys, nothing to worry about. You just might die. Yeah. And then my fun joke for this is the GTB stands for got terrible brakes. So got to fit in a dad joke every once in a while there. Speaking of recalls, just jumping forward, Tesla is recalling 100,000 Model S's.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. See, and that's the difference between, you know, I mean, again, the ratio still works out, but man, for a company that's been on fire for so long, and for a company that's been on fire for a short of amount of lifespan that they've had.
Right. Right.
With this, some of the financial woes that we've discussed earlier episodes. And of course it was the Model 3 still not really picking up speed in production.
Yeah. It's funny to me that something like this didn't happen sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I still stick to the premise of commending them for getting so far so quickly and having taken, I feel like they're the company that is really taken society by storm with regard to alternate means of in alternative to standard combustion and things like that, because I've never seen, there were even a few at Cars and Coffee this morning.
Nice.
Just regular Model S's, you know what I mean? And it's just kind of like they have given people hope for what can be done with alternative means. And because they're kind of the first people to operate on a scale of this magnitude, I would have expected something catastrophically bad to go wrong. Like just a massive, you know, like production delays and stuff like that, like with the three, stuff like that is expected. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Cause
that can happen to anybody.
Right.
But just running a car off of pure electric power alone, you know, charge points, terminals, the whole thing is basically a computer, a system.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a data center.
Well, you know, I don't think we've even mentioned what they're recalled for yet. We'll get back there, but you just raise a great point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sure you sit there when you're sitting in your BMW and even your Mini from time to time, even to a little bit, it's not as new as your BMW.
Yeah.
But when you're sitting in your car, do you ever look around and you're just like, boy, when this craps out on me, when this function or whatever goes down, like, yo, this might cost me a little bit.
Yeah, it costs a lot.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest downfall with all this stuff. You know, this whole braking malfunction thing being a software issue.
Mm-hmm.
What? And then now we'll finally mention it with Tesla's recall is basically on the bolts mounting the power steering motor to the rack, and it's affecting the power steering system. Now, that's a little bit more mechanical.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough,
the gas-powered car is a software failure, and the software-powered car is the mechanical failure.
Right. But you know, what's to say that something software-related doesn't happen to, you know, a Tesla soon or whenever, you know, but...
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's just like a lot more to worry about than you've ever had to.
I know. Gone are the days where you just worry about getting a flat tire.
Right. Like, That's it.
I know. It's like just, and it's everything. It's head gasket failure, like on the Ford Focus RS GT350s not being able to cool themselves properly at the track. Like Ford got sued on quite a few occasions for some of their performance cars. And that kind of led me to believe, I didn't get to bring it up for the other podcast when we talked about the Focus RS going out of production. I'm wondering if Ford is maybe starting to minimize the amount that they, because not all of their performance vehicles have had recalls, but they've had issues with a lot of them.
Right.
So I'm wondering if they just want to focus on a different area of production other than the performance division, or if they're looking at all these errors. And because there actually was a lawsuit filed by GT350 owners for the overheating of V8s. Wow. So I just don't know if that's something that they don't want to deal with anymore, but it's,
but it might not, it might be, I think you're exactly right. Because again, we just reported that they're taking $7 billion and moving it from car development to more trucks and SUVs.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So I think, plus, I think we answered our own question.
Yeah. Plus, they can blame Raj Nair for everything since he's clearly a molester and he's a big part of Ford performance. So they're like, you know what? This is just bad luck. We're just not going to do any of this anymore. And we're just going to go back to making Fusions and,
and Flexes.
And yeah.
I actually like the Flex.
Me too.
I just like that long based, it's very,
and the roof
utility.
Is very, I like it. It's really different. It's
expensive.
It's literally a box. It's very expensive.
I don't know if I'd spend that money for a Flex.
You'd be the only one in it though.
Yeah, for real. But yeah, so, you know, Tesla's kind of hit right now. But the good thing is with their power steering issues that they're having, there have been no injuries or accidents that have been reported. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. These are affecting models built before April 2016. So if you're a Tesla listener and you're listening, I mean, if you're a Tesla,
they probably are listening.
They are.
This is the smart cars, man.
That's right.
They're probably tuned into us right now.
The car's probably listening.
We're charging some Teslas right now. We have the power.
With our high octane audio.
Right. Exactly.
I just can't wait for the day where it's like, hey, I can't make it to work because my car froze.
Yeah.
Like I had my software froze, so I can't turn it on.
Or my car is in the middle of the highway. It stopped driving itself.
It's glitching.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It turned around and went home. It's overridden my.
Oh, boy. Some more bad news, shall we?
That's all we got.
That's all we got.
That's all we know. We're keeping up with the trends of NBC, CNN.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. TTA news. So we have been talking about the Honda Accord a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We like it, I think, right?
It's excellent.
It's an excellent car. Mm-hmm. Looks great. Looks like I don't know how it performs as far as being in it. I haven't driven one.
Me either, yeah.
But the numbers look good. And from what I've read, it drives well.
Mm-hmm.
However, Honda's having some issues getting it off the lot. CarBuzz announced earlier in the month that Honda's just not moving enough units, not what they expected. Then they announced that a lot of it was based off of lack of incentives. So they tried to do something to offer more incentives for new buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's being reported that Honda will halt production of the Honda Accord because they have bloated inventories. There's just too many laying around.
This is surprising, and maybe it's surprising and not surprising. This is why I think it is. Not surprising. They don't have the V6 anymore, and they don't have coupes anymore.
Everything's turbocharged.
And they don't have any variation within that line at all, basically. Yeah. I think that really sucks because a lot of the coupes sold well. Usually I'm like, oh, the sedan is much better than the coupe, or the coupe is much better than the sedan, or they should have never, like the M3 and the M4. If you gave me an M4 for free, I'd sell it and get an M3. You know what I mean? I just don't care for the coupe. The Accord is one of the few cars where I could go either way.
Especially last gen.
Yeah, the last gen right before this one, which is, I guess, the slight facelift to the one before it.
Yes.
Those V6 Tourings, the Sport Tourings, even the coupes, which are extremely attractive. I mean, I really enjoy the new Accord. I guess the thing I was going to say of why I'm surprised that this is happening is because that seems to be all I see on the road anymore. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? In all trim levels, they seem to have sold very well, but the variation, I'm speaking as an enthusiast though, and I don't know if I can even say this as an enthusiast because I probably saw about the same amount of V6s as I saw the four cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
And people were buying them. Yeah. I don't know if it's because a lot of the times they were offered with higher trim levels and they were still cost efficient, but I'm not sure if that might be a reason why, because like I said, if you want a V6 car in that category, you have to go to Toyota now.
Yeah.
Camrys, you know, they're the ones with the V6. At least within those two, you know, the two juggernauts.
But I think what's sad is that I think they are, because you know what, I think Nissan announced, I don't think, are they doing a V6 Altima? I can't remember.
I don't know. The Maxima is still a V6 though. The Maxima is that class.
But the Maxima needs a breath of fresh air also, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to talk about the Altima. We'll talk about it a little bit. We have some time. But, you know, the Accord is an interesting car because we do see a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And then you hear reports like this. You bring up a good point of not having the whatchamacallit anymore.
The coupe or the V6?
The coupe and the V6. I mean, both of those things are pretty bad. Not bad, but we're sad to see them go.
Yeah.
I drove the coupe not the last gen, but the previous before it was facelifted, and I loved it. It was a fun car to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been such a staple, like, ever since I've growing up, like, Accord's going to have a coupe. Mm-hmm. And Accord's going to have a sedan.
For years. Or even at least something like the Prelude or mm-hmm. the, you know what I mean? But I mean, I guess those aren't necessarily coupes as much as they are sports cars. But either way, it fills an offering in the market. I mean, I don't know.
But you know, that's a really weird niche now, if you think about it, like to offer, because when you say coupe, what do you think of? You think of a real true sports car. Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking anything away from the Honda Accords.
That's true. Yeah.
But I don't know.
That's just
you yourself. Would you exactly? It's just aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to say, oh, I drive a two door.
Well, it's Maggie has a Accord coupe, and hers is a 2014. And she preferred the coupe because she's always liked coupes and she's preferred it over the sedan. I have always liked the Accord sedan.
Mm-hmm.
But the most recent generation, of course, the one where they actually stopped making the coupe, I would have the coupe, the Accord.
I wonder what one would look like with this new body style.
I don't know.
Because the last two gens have been very sleek.
And the rear was super different.
Oh, very.
From the sedan. And yes, the new sedan rear, I don't like it.
Really?
I like it a little bit.
A lot of people don't.
But I don't like, for example, I don't know why manufacturers do this, but it's the same thing. Like, for example, BMW released the 3 Series and the new one in 2012, I think. They ran from 2012 to 2015 with a certain rear. Then in 2016 to 2019, they facelifted it and they gave it all LED taillights. So the first generation had halogen turn signals and stuff like that. And the facelifted had the same ones that my M3 has on the rear, where they're full LED. And my thing is in the year and in the day and age that we live in, you know, where you have full LEDs offered on Kias, you know, does the car really cost that much where you can't put them on from the beginning and just offer them like that for the entire model line? Because because honestly, the second facelifted Accords, the V6s and such, the Tourings, they had full LED tails.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the turn signals were, but the brake lights, the standard rear taillights, the headlights ran LED, LED bulbs in the front. Especially for the Tourings, like the Type R and the Honda.
It's like a Hyundai, Hyundai variation. Hyundai.
Hyundai. like the headlights, they've got like they look like they have a bunch of dots or stars in them.
Yeah.
Like the Type R, Honda Civic Type R headlights. But then when you come out with the new ones, you put a bunch of halogen bulbs in the tails and you give some LEDs for the headlights, but it's kind of like you're restarting the level of quality. So does this mean that in another 3 years, you're just going to do the same thing over again?
It should just be standard.
I just don't, but that's just part of the reason why I don't like the rear. It's just way too busy. It's just too busy back there.
Mm.
I really like the slope of it.
Yes.
I like that it's like
it's got a fastback look to it.
Yeah. The sweatback or whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
It's got like a special name. And every time it comes up in conversation,
it's not slickback,
like,
is it?
No, it's like a
fast slick. There's a bunch.
I'd written it one of our scripts, but it has that look like the A7 blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But I genuinely don't know how that would look, because even the old sedan looked a bit sleeker in its own right.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see how they might shape that into a coupe, but this is very, because this is that straight back type of look, it's almost essentially a coupe already.
Right.
So I'm wondering if that's why they didn't necessarily do it that way.
I think if they do a coupe, it's going to have to be completely, it's going to look drastically different. Yeah. It's not going to be like just a two-door version like we've seen before.
Because even the front is a bit kind of, looks like it kind of ran into a wall and flattened itself. Yeah.
And I love that look because it has a very like estate-like look.
I like that. That's the only part of the car I actually like.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, have you seen the new Lincoln Continentals?
Mm-hmm.
They are freaking amazing.
They don't look like anything else on the road.
No.
Front or back.
I'll give you one car that I think might be similar, but not too similar. The I can't remember the badge number, but basically the Volvo sedan. Just because of the shape.
S60.
Yes, the S60. Mm-hmm. Only reason I say that is because they have that they have that kind of more straight lined look to it.
Right.
And like that flatness to some of the panels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those two cars, every time I see a Continental or I see an S60, I break my neck because it's like, man, there's nothing out here that looks like you. And
nothing,
it's beautiful.
At all. Very, very sleek.
Beautiful.
Coupes with four doors, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, to your point about the halogen lights and stuff like that, when I went to go buy my GTI, they try to put me into one that didn't have the bi xenon package and stuff like that.
Right.
And I always have it. I've always had an issue with the halogen lights because they just don't have a great output.
No.
Straight up.
You can't see anything. Basically.
You really unless you put like a brighter bulb.
Yeah.
And then
like the Mini doesn't have projectors or HIDs, so I put the kit in there.
Right.
Now I can see.
And it's better for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's safer. Bottom line. I mean, it looks better, but it's also safety.
Sure.
And I was like, no, I don't want, like, I, if I'm going to do all this, like, I'm coming away from a Jetta that doesn't have the stuff. If I'm going to truly upgrade, I need to truly upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what it was. But I agree with you. It should just be standard now.
Right.
You know, and maybe it should be, give us all the, maybe on the standard vehicles, you don't do the LED strips and all that little jazz, but just give us the proper output. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
The strips can be a nice little plus if you want to have that option, I suppose.
Luxurious tidbit to add.
Right.
Yeah.
We do have some good news.
imagine that.
We're going to end on a positive note. It is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode this week. The Rimac C2 is close to selling out after only 3 weeks of debuting at Geneva.
Mm. It did capture a lot of people, though, man. Mm-hmm. Like, because it was also at the New York Auto Show.
Yes.
Because George had sent me a pic of it. And I guess he sent a picture when there weren't a lot of people around it, but I can definitely imagine it being gone, especially because it's a small company with low output. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not making things at scale. Like, even I think Koenigsegg probably makes more cars than they do, which they were also the show, by the way.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah. But, I think that just harks back to EV again.
Yeah.
But this is a different kind of EV owner that's going here for these vehicles.
The hyper EV.
Right. How much is this car again?
This car is coming in at, are you ready?
No.
Are you ready? 2.1 million.
And sold out?
Almost sold out.
We can still get one, bro.
All right. Let's put all our pennies together. They are developing 150 examples of these, and they're close to selling out. And these cars are 2.1 million a piece, estimated, of course.
But honestly, this is a EV car unlike any other. The standard, the original Rimac that Richard and Joven crashed. I mean, that... I guess I'll just reference this really quick. Remember the, we might have talked about it already in another episode, but James of the NSX and Jeremy had the Aventador S.
Yes.
And the drag race the brief drag race that they had. And it literally made the Aventador look like a Honda Civic just getting
left. Whoa, 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 whoa. You're going to get dragged for saying that, you know,
bro.
You know, Civic folks are like, well, I can get a Civic and soup it up to be the Lambo any day of the week.
I'd actually kind of like to see that. I mean, obviously it can be done. You put a KO15 turbo on.
There's tons of videos of it.
Of course, at the end of your runway, you're going to blow up and die.
See, okay, let's actually do this for a little bit. See, because I have growing up, I've always hated this whole like I'm I've I I'm I I come from the tuner scene of the imports. No lie. I'm a JDM guy at birth, but I've truly have morphed into a very more, I don't know. I have a different distinct taste these days.
Let me say that.
But one thing I've always hated, especially when I've started to explore all the other options and offerings out there by all these amazing car manufacturers, is how Honda folks will say, well, I can soup up a Civic to beat a Lambo, a GTR, and so on. That's great. You certainly can. Well, wait until the GTR guy gets his money on.
How about at the end of the day, you have a Civic badge on your car.
Right.
I don't even feel bad saying that, because maybe it's a pride of ownership thing, or maybe you're just ignorant. Because at the end of the day, I have an M3. I'm not going to go talking shit about I can burn me a 488 for breakfast if I, you know, put slap some bigger. This, honestly, it's big with Honda people, but in BMW, it's just as bad. I had a 330.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, like the 335 and the four, you know, the people with the twin turbo cars that were not M cars stay talking about how they can burn an M3 with just a simple tune and blah, 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 and stuff like that. Like, at the end of the day, the guy in the M3 doesn't give a shit if your car is faster than his, because he's not the one that bought the 335.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's just the reality of it at the end of the day. Like, whatever you have to do to make sure that your penis is big enough to be in the same bathroom as the guy with the M3.
It's a pissing contest.
You know what I mean? It just doesn't really matter. So it's cool that your car is fast, but make it fast for you, because trust and believe, the dude with the $80,000 car ain't worried about you.
No.
You know what I mean?
All.
He doesn't give a shit at
not
all.
At all.
Like, you want to full bolt your car on, you know, give it fat tires, make it go fast in a straight line in a corner. Okay. Enjoy blowing your money on that. Like,
and that's fine. And if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. But, yo, like it's, you said, I'm not worried about
down,
you,
bro.
I call my car the Honda Hunter.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I just go out. I just like pick it on Civics.
Put them out of their miseries. You know? Like, what's that? Don't try him, bro. He's got a better transmission than you. His transmission is made in Germany, bros.
I tried to mess with the Type R the other day. I knew he would have roasted me, but I just wanted to see it go.
You'd actually keep up pretty good with him. That performance pack and the Type R, especially because you have a DSG, and this is just not just a manual, but I mean, if you have a manual and you say, oh well, I gotta have time to shift and blah blah blah, just shift faster, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, stop being such a get over yourself.
So much to edit out in this episode. Oh man, but that's the thing, man. I just, Honda owners, Civic owners, I should say, just like, well, actually, we'll get back to the Rimac in a bit, but the one thing, like, so, like, I don't know if I told you last week, but like, last week on my way home from work, I don't know what was going on, but often when I get off of work from Federal House, what I'll see is typically like a bunch of Civics that like roam on 97 and 50, like super modded, super loud, super low. They're dope, but they are going, I mean, maybe this is the old man in me. They're going easy, like easy one something.
Whoa.
Like blasting down the street to the point, like if you are switching lanes, and you're doing it in a normal fashion, they're not going to have enough time to react, because they're going to go blow past you. So
that's really dangerous.
It's super dangerous. So last week, Civics are flying down back and forth. Of course, here comes some Subaru guys, right? They're not going to sit down and take this ish, right?
Rest in peace.
So now everyone's lining up. There just so happens to be an old Volvo station wagon with like a bunch of crap in its back seat. You can just tell it's like filled with trash.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they come to a crawl, not a crawl, but they come to a nice
pace.
The
Volvo is racing too?
I think so. They kind of built a wall.
Oh, okay.
Like the two Subarus and the two Civics.
Oh, it's just to allow them to line up properly.
To stop
traffic.
So they were coming at a pace. This is, my God, this is like 2 a.m.
Right.
Right. Yeah. They're at a nice, decent pace, probably going around like 40, 50. They do the honk thing three times and they all go. But because they held up the Volvo decided to go as well. Mm-hmm. And what the Volvo did was very, very dangerous. He actually took his car and tried to like just ram one of the Civics off the road. And I know at one point while I was driving, like
they made contact.
They didn't make contact. The Civic owner like completely moved over, but I could tell.
So he saw him get, okay.
He saw him, but there was definitely some type of altercation, because like at one point, like the Subarus and I think like two Subarus, a Civic, and the Volvo were like pulled over on the side of the road or something. Like, I don't know what they were doing. So I just kept going.
Beating the Volvo to death.
Look, this dude had so much trash in his backseat. It wouldn't surprise me if the Volvo like guy like killed them all and like put them in the trunk or something. Like, this guy was terrifying. I've never seen. Okay, let me paint this picture for you. It's 2 o'clock in the morning on 97, and I can see clearly that there is an abundance of trash in your wagon. How can I see? And I didn't have my new glasses at the time. How the hell can I see this much trash in your car?
That's pretty bad, bro.
So I'm sure this guy murdered everyone and that was it. So
you'll be seeing them driving home, I guess, anymore. Nah, you're going to see a bunch of Civics with some trash in them.
Nah, dog. And it's funny because when I was driving that night, I was like, yo, it must be Honda Day or something. I'm like, wait, that's like 3 weeks away.
Right, right.
I was like, God,
it'll take them that long to get there. That's why they're starting out already.
There's this great meme online of this guy mowing his lawn. And it's like this big handle attached to a Civic. Mm-hmm. And he's just pushing a Civic on his lawn.
Oh, his leg is awful. On the way to Honda Day.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. But the Rimac.
Right. Back to the real cars.
Yes, yes. What are you thinking? I mean, 2.1 million. It's almost close to selling out within 3 weeks of its debut. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I like this company a lot. I think they're doing a fantastic job with what they're setting out to do, which is not really to make efficient use of the electricity. It's just to make the fastest car that they can possibly make. Not when it's at its fastest, though, because it probably, honestly, it probably burns more energy than the equivalent of like a Dodge Demon at its fastest.
But it's not gas. So
it's still not gas.
But they can rest their laurels on, so to speak, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's good because they always have power available.
Right.
That's something that an electric car will always have, no matter what the form of energy consumption is. That's the only way you're going to get to 60 in under 2 seconds. That's mm-hmm. the only way that you're going to be able to, you know, whatever gear you're, like I said, a lot of these electric cars, they don't even have gears anymore.
Yeah.
You just put your foot down at any speed and then you just keep going forward.
Till
you take off or till your batteries catch fire. I mean, either or, but I think it's a great car. I'm excited to see some journalists hopefully get some experience with it and be able to speak to it as far as, you know, the capabilities go. And I think it's a great display of what man is capable of these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, electricity was discovered a long time ago. batteries not so long ago. But being able to use them in this manner, I mean, we have stuff like Formula E, right? We have entire racing series that are just only using electric cars. It's starting to become more conventional and more integrated into different areas of this industry and of this culture. I think that's really important. And I think that Rimac is a great, I think they're a pioneer in their own right.
Absolutely.
Because no one else has gotten to this level of performance with these, other than the Japanese guys. Who are those guys? Remember the,
A-Spark Owl.
Yeah. But even that was what, full EV car, right?
It was a full EV, but it was a mess.
It was a mess,
Because I don't think it was technically. I mean, I think they did say it was probably legal, but it didn't have like the headlights.
The Hoosier, the drag radials and stuff like that. But yeah, no, I really like it a lot, and I really like what they're doing over there, and I hope that they can, you know, get more funding and continue to you know branch out with what they're doing.
Well, you know, I'm always about aesthetics, and I gotta say, like, I went back to look at the Rimac C2 and. The one thing that instantly jumped out at me is just how beautifully constructed the vehicle is.
Still looks like a car too. It don't look like a Ferrari or anything like that. It doesn't look like a mid-engine car.
Right.
It just looks like a standard, like a grand touring car or something.
It looks comfortable and it's just impressive. And, I think like one of my biggest things with the Teslas, and you know, I'm going to wrap up soon here, but, they look good, but I'm going to get heat for this, but they just remind me of like an RC car sometimes.
The Teslas, right?
Yeah. Sometimes I love them. Sometimes I'm like, I don't care.
Right.
Like I saw an all black one that I thought was gorgeous yesterday. And then I saw one today and I was like, all right.
But you know what? It's because there's so many of them, bro. Yeah.
I think Tesla's the Honda Civic of EV.
It is. The Model S is just because it's exactly like that.
And it's not a bad thing. Let me add. That's not a bad thing to be at all.
Right, right. It's just the thing is the price of the cars. They're very expensive cars. So people are doing very well to be able to own them. You get a great incentive from driving them around. You get money back from the government. And you you know, save the polar bears and the ice caps and stuff like that.
We need to save the polar bears. That's pretty sad.
No, yeah, we do love. I mean, I'm a big polar bear fan. I think we should do what we can to, you know, to help them out and stuff like that. And I guess since we have the most control within our environment as far as what we do to damage it or save it, we should be doing more.
We just lost a lot of American fans.
Oh, well, they have American EVs too. Hold on, let me think of them real quick.
More Dodge Hellcats, please.
Basically.
But our competitors, we have competitors that are all about the American.
Oh yeah, all about Murakai.
So you can do that.
But yeah, they're just, and I use pedestrian in such a negative light. So when I say something's pedestrian, it's just kind of like, no, I'm not having that. But essentially, the Model S is pedestrian now. You know what I mean? This is like, you'd have to get an X if you want to be different. But even I'm starting to see those creep up more and more regularly. You know what I mean? It's just, this is the thing. This is the hip car. This is like a rich person starter vehicle.
Yeah.
It's like you get promoted to regional director. You go and buy you a fully loaded Model X P100 or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this is a great show, man.
Yeah. I mean, it was great.
10 episodes.
10 episodes is done.
And that's it. We'll never hear from us again.
We're falling off the face of the earth.
We're done.
We'll be literally canonized in the form of a battery, and we're going to be put into the... How long has Tesla been around?
Like 4 years, maybe.
Damn, it's a long way to go until they get to 10.
Yeah.
We'll be gone for a long time.
We're joking. We will be back next week, because next week we'll be talking to George.
Oh, yeah. George is back.
Ganem.
Why George be like, oh, bro, I got things. He's popular.
You got canceled?
I got things to do. I'm about to like, get a voice changer for Tenet Beach. Get him on the phone. Hold the phone next to the speaker.
He's right over here.
I know, right?
Yeah, we'll have George Ganem next week talking about his New York International Auto Show experience. We'll talk to him about what the atmosphere was like, what his favorite cars were there.
We'll make sure he talks about stuff other than BMW.
Yeah, yes, we will.
No, we won't.
I actually have a list of things that I liked from the auto show.
Oh yeah,
the new Altima. I'm everything. Really excited about everything. I mean,
the whole damn show.
The whole damn show, man. The new Altima. I want to talk about the new hatchback. There's a new Corolla hatchback. I'm excited about that. There's a lot of things that I'm just excited stuff. About that I never thought I'd be excited for.
Right.
So, and then of course there's a lot of the super and hyper cars to talk about, and a great range of SUVs and so on. But we'll talk about all that stuff next week on another episode of Through the Apex. Thanks for listening. You can follow us at @through_the_apex. You can find me at the Sean Rosa or at makeshiftfilms.net.
I can be found at machinegain-labs.com or MarkAnthony_Murray on IG. Ask any questions, send us any feedback, subscribe, rate, comment, hate. No, hate, actually.
It's coming.
It's coming, yeah. It's come and it's coming and it's came and it's arriving. Damn it. Get out.
We'll see you guys next week. Have a great, great whatever
Easter.
Time of the, yeah, if it might be done. Well, Easter's done.
Oh, no. Good. Hope you enjoyed your Easter, guys.
And if you don't celebrate Easter, shalom. I don't know.
Right. Hanukkah.
Something. Take care, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to Through the Apex.
New episodes available every Tuesday.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter
@through_the_apex.